Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We jump on in. I went out and saw London Has Fallen last night, so I didn't watch much sports. I got home in time to see the end of the Hawks and Warriors. And as I said on Monday, that the Warriors have now become part of my viewing habits. Every week when the Warriors play, every game when the Warriors play, I believe they play Oklahoma City tomorrow night. I'm going to watch Warriors Oklahoma City. And there's not many teams in the NBA that I would watch now. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Pedro Gomez will be with us here in about 15 minutes. Our weekly segment with Pedro is now official, that we're going to do Pedro every, is it this week forward, Eric, or is this just another one of those, let's just catch up to Pedro, or do you want him to jump on every week on the show now?
Today is the official first regular Wednesday visit with Pedro Gomez.
First official Wednesday. So every Wednesday, ESPN baseball insider Pedro Gomez will be with us. He has been doing the fun stuff of not police blotter. Well, there is some police blotter involved when it's Aroldis Chapman, it's Yasiel Puig, and it's Reyes. He's been all over that, and obviously Chapman is at the top of the news cycle today, so we'll talk with Pedro Gomez about that. I also want to visit with Pedro about some of the other spring training stops here in the Cactus League and what he believes some of these teams are going to be doing as we get underway and some of the questions and all that stuff. By the way, if you have anything for Pedro, you can always shoot me questions, Brad at sports360az.com, Brad at sports360az.com. Troy Tulowitzki ripped on the Rockies and Salt River Fields yesterday. The Toronto Blue Jay, and I'm going to talk to Pedro about this, and saying, quote, I like this place a lot better than Arizona. He is now with the Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida. Knock yourself out in Florida when you have your three-hour bus rides. I like this place a lot better than Arizona. That place was like a country club. Guys got comfortable because it was so nice. Well, is there some truth to that, or is that just a culture of the manager, the general manager, the organization? It was the fact that the Rockies just weren't that good of a team when he was with them. Has Salt River Field spoiled the Diamondbacks? I actually think it's a pretty darn good recruiting tool. Hey, come here to Arizona, and you play for the Diamondbacks. You will never have to leave your home. Ever. You won't have to leave your home for spring training. You will not have to go to Florida. You will not have to go through the whole upheaval. You could stay at your house. We're not making you stay in a hotel and all that stuff. So I'm going to talk about that with Pedro a little bit too. The Cardinals are going to look at Mario Williams. And the Cardinals play a 3-4 defense. I think I'd rather have Dwight Freeney than I would Mario Williams. I've had some people said, well, I'd rather have both. You can't do that with a salary cap. It's fun to take football cards and throw them out and say, I want all these guys. You just can't do that. The NFL yesterday, when Sam Bradford, this is how bad it is at quarterback in the NFL. Okay, so Sam Bradford was 18-30-1 with the Rams. And last year, he didn't do anything great at Philadelphia. Got hurt. He played better. Sam Bradford has now cleared $100 million in money made in the NFL. Sam Bradford.
Just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Just a guy. Not a bad guy.
No.
Not a good guy. Just a guy.
I'd rather...
Serviceable NFL quarterback.
Joe Flacco yesterday got an extension that he will on average get $20 million per season. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl. Joe Flacco, nice leader. Joe Flacco.
Good quarterback. Not elite. Durable. Not elite, but good quarterback.
I have taken the stance on Carson Palmer that I'm fine with having Carson here. I'm also not one of those that believes that there are a lot of teams that are as stupid as the Raiders were for dumping him for a bag of rocks. And the Cardinals turned out to be very lucky. And they turned out to be very lucky with Kurt Warner. But then they weren't lucky for a long stretch of time with all these dreadful quarterbacks that couldn't play dead. That had two left feet or whatever it was. They just couldn't play. And so when I see the numbers that are being thrown at quarterbacks, and I think I've known this, that crazy dads, we see crazy dads with what we do at Sports 360 AZ. We're not afraid to go do high school. We're not embarrassed by doing high school. A lot of big media companies are embarrassed by it. That's just not who we are. High school leads to college. College leads to pro. Pro leads to college. You talk to pro players, they'd rather be out at a high school game than go watch their own sport at times. They would, especially the elite ones. I've stood on more than a few sidelines with Larry Fitzgerald because he wants to see the next great high school player. That's cool. He's got it figured out. And so I see the crazy dads. I see the dads that are completely, totally out of control with their quarterback as a ninth grader, 10th grader, 11th grader. There's a quarterback in our state that if I give too much of the story, you'll figure out who it is. But there's a quarterback in our state that is going to be an elite player. And he's already started to talk to people about maybe he should go to another school. And he's pretty much already decided where he's going to go. He's pretty much done some very good things already. And it's, well, there's better receivers and there's better. Just go to where you're supposed to go. But the crazy dads and the inner circles want them to go to the next level. We see it in basketball. We saw it at the high school level this year in basketball. We see it in many sports where players wind up being shifted around at high school. And then they get shifted around in college. And then when they get to the NFL, a lot of those kids just wash out. That was really interesting yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show about Ryan Lindley, Ryan Lindley is the one person who is tutoring Carson Wentz. That's right. Ryan Lindley is tutoring Carson Wentz. Eric and I were talking about this. I did not know Taylor Kelly. I must have missed this over the weekend. I was gone. Taylor's left ASU. Is that right, E? That's the word?
Yeah, he is out in Huntington Beach working with quarterbacks. He was actually working with Matt Barkley, the third-string quarterback for the Cardinals.
Okay, so the quarterback industry, when we see that, you know, Sam Bradford gets $26 million guaranteed, and he's not even close to a winning record, and he's got over $100 million, and Eagle fans will say, no, he's great, he's terrific. No, Eagle fans would say he stinks. Correct me on that one. A guy like Taylor Kelly, it's like there's a friend of mine that, and Carson has his brother, Jordan Palmer, working with him. It's a friend of mine I grew up with. He works with quarterbacks in San Diego, and he's worked with Carson a little bit. And, you know, Rudy Carpenter is here in the quarterback industry. Dan Minucci is here in the Valley doing the quarterback industry. There's a couple other guys here in town that they all have figured out that it's like a swing coach for these golfers. You know, you got to have the swing coach and you can change from one to the other. I'm very happy that Taylor Kelly is doing something. I'm disappointed he left ASU. That kind of flew under the radar, I think. We should get him on the football show maybe, because I'd like to know, you know, why did he leave? I think he would have been in line to do much more than that. So, the bottom line is the numbers that these quarterbacks are getting, I look at and just kind of shake my head. The Warriors last night, I touched on them off the top, but let me circle back on that. So Steph didn't play last night. Steph Curry was out. Steph didn't go. The Warriors win. They do it in overtime. They do it against Atlanta. And Draymond Green, the guy that was really unhappy, that had to be separated from Steve Kerr, according to reports, that maybe this has been, every great team has to go through adversity. Every bit of brilliance has to go through adversity. If you don't go through tough times, we've gone through tough times doing this. We've gone through tough times and we're still here. I think any great organization, as you build something, has to go through adversity. It's no fun going through adversity. Nobody likes going through adversity. I don't think my wife liked going through childbirth. I don't think she liked going through that, but we have four beautiful kids. Almost lost her on the fourth one. It was awful. And now life's amazing. Okay. Same thing in sports. Give me a great team that hasn't gone through adversity. Denver Broncos this last year lost their quarterback. He couldn't play. Wasn't throwing the ball well. Everybody said they're buried. They're done. They're not going to get through it. They made it through the adversity. Draymond Green goes off on Steve Kerr to the point where reportedly, Draymond Green had to be separated from Steve Kerr in the locker room on Saturday night. Took off his shoes, said, I'm not playing in the second half. Had his manhood called out. Steve Kerr called him out, showed plays where he wasn't getting it done. Being a good coach, times you got to get into your guys. Times you got to praise your guys. I don't know if in that locker room, if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are never called out, but when you're doing something as special as what that team is doing, you're going to have a blow up or two. And they had it the other night. And so last night, without having Steph Curry on the floor, they found a way to win. Conversely, we have the Suns. They were just awful last night. Well, they lose by 30 again. I mean, it was a great performance on their part. There was never a doubt, unlike the game against Memphis, that somehow, tragically, they managed to win.
It was 21-6 to start the game.
That's
we'll just leave it
awesome.
At that.
So let me think about this. They flew all the way across country, jet fuel, private jet. They stayed in a hotel, so you're paying for rooms. They get to the arena. And it's not even, what was it? You said 21-6? How quickly into the game?
Halfway through the first quarter, halfway it was 21-6.
So halfway through the first quarter, these poor people that paid money to go, well, they're happy if they're in Charlotte. They saw their team just crush. Just a dreadful, dreadful situation.
35-18 after the first quarter.
35-18.
So,
so the Suns actually were quite good last night, in my view.
The Suns outscored the Hornets 31-28 in the fourth quarter.
What's up with that? You can't do that.
But yeah, we're outscored by 11 in the third, 9 in the second, and 17 in the first.
Okay, so they started out strong. They did everything they were supposed to do.
They're 15-45.
No, it's fine. They're 15 wins. Okay, so tonight, for those of you that are Suns fans, okay, tonight Philadelphia is at home to Charlotte. Charlotte's in a back-to-back. The Suns probably didn't wear them out enough because the game was over early. You would be rooting for Philadelphia tonight to pull one off. Win a game, Philadelphia. The Lakers play tonight at Denver. Gotta hope that...
There's no way that the Suns are going to catch Philadelphia.
They're going to go on a seven-game
win
streak,
There's no way. The Sixers have eight wins.
I feel it. You don't feel it? You're not feeling Philly?
No. The Lakers have 12. That seems a little bit more attainable.
So what? The Suns are at 15.
Yep.
Because the Lakers play at Denver tonight.
The Suns would be the would get the second pick.
If they get to the Lakers.
If the season... Yeah, if they get to the Lakers. Yeah, if they're in the three spot right now.
Correct. They're in the three spot. But you have the lottery. We're just talking about chances for the lottery. Do you think we should go to the lottery? I'm serious. I think we should take the show to the lottery.
Where is that, Chicago or New York?
I think it's the caucus. I think it's in New York. I mean, it's ping pong balls, but we are rooting for them to suck so badly, and they're coming through in spades.
The Suns and Coyotes, Brad, have not had great success with ping pong balls, lotteries, frozen envelopes,
like the 15th pick,
coin flips,
the 12th pick. After all this, like it can't be any worse than what's going on. Although I read from the owner, there's still a chance. It's not likely that they're making the playoffs this year. The owner said it, so I have to believe it. Yeah, Oklahoma City's at Golden State tomorrow night. And I'm going to watch that before I watch the Suns at Miami. Although I do want to see Amari, and if I listen closely enough, I'll hear his knees squeaking as he runs down the court. Like, Amari is at that stage in the game where I loved him when he came here. You talk about just this innocent young man who had all these vultures around him, and he came through everything, and now he's turned his career into a long run, and he can't move when I've seen him play. All right. Up next, we will go out to Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball. Is Pedro in Florida? Do you know, Eric? Or is he? He's here? All right. Pedro Gomez is next. Welcome back. Time now for Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider. Pedro Gomez, every Wednesday from here forward, although I do see, this shouldn't interfere with us. No, it's not even on a Wednesday. Pardon me, but I'll give this a plug anyways. Pedro retweeted ASU Cronkite School Race, Sports, and Media with Pedro Gomez and Kevin Morita. Is that right, Kevin Morita? ESPN Senior VP, Pedro, is that right? You two are speaking?
Merida, yes.
Merida. So you two are speaking at Cronkite.
We are.
Yeah. And what is your, when you go
that
speak to colleges, what do you talk about when you go to colleges, when you speak to classes, usually?
A lot of times I'm there to answer a lot of questions, but when I do go speak, I basically, you know, it's one of those things where I know a lot of people want to get into the business, and I am there not to discourage. I think a lot of times in our business, people discourage, but obviously somebody has to do these jobs. But a lot of times I am there to answer questions. And a lot of times these programs, it's not just about getting into journalism. It's about trying to get into front offices or work for ball clubs or for leagues or try to become agents, things like that. So just try to answer as many questions as possible and talk about anything that they want to talk about.
We've known each other a long, long time, and guys like us that have been in the business a long, long time, at times I think wonder, are there other things out there than just being in media? Did you ever consider, or have you ever considered being an agent or anything in the front office?
No, an agent, no. And front office, you know what, you think about ways that you think you could help a club.
Yep.
Whether that, not necessarily player development or, you know, trying to scout players, nothing like that. I don't have that type of background. But in terms of trying to help the actual players that are in an organization, I've thought that I probably could do something on that front, but I'm more than happy with where I am now. But who knows down the road? Who knows?
Yeah. No, I get you. Pedro Gomez with us. Okay, Aroldis Chapman suspended 30 days under the MLB domestic violence policy. His statement about, well, his statement just bothered me. And when you fire a gun in the air a bunch of times and you're running out of the house, the girl's running out of the house with basically a newborn, and that he didn't do anything to her physically. Come on. I mean, other than that, I applaud what Rob Manfred took the stand here. What about you?
Well, in talking to a few players yesterday when it first happened, that was absolutely the response that the players gave me, that, hey, look, this is a time where this issue is at the forefront. And it is very good to see that both the Players Association and the league have decided that it's serious enough to open up the collective bargaining agreement in midstream, which they did last year, and insert this in. And that is something that doesn't happen very often. So to have cooperation from the Players Association on that, you know, the players I spoke to were actually said, look, you should never hit a woman. If you do hit a woman, there should be severe consequences. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be happy with what Major League Baseball is doing here.
Seemed much stronger than the dysfunction of Roger Goodell and Ray Rice to me.
Well, but they also had Roger Goodell in the NFL to know what not to do, basically. And that is one of the reasons that maybe baseball took longer than maybe would have been expected, because don't forget these incidents took place. The Aroldis Chapman incident took place in October, late October, mm-hmm. And here we are in early March, and he just ruled on it. But of course, there was no pressing time frame because the season was not going on, and so you know they had some time. But I think they really used the NFL and the mistakes maybe that the NFL made to say we can't make similar mistakes, so let's make sure that we're going to handle this properly. And yes, baseball probably should have had something like this years ago, but the fact that, you know, it's a collectively bargained issue, so you can't just institute it. As much as fans may say, why can't they just do it? Well, that's part of the setup that baseball has with the union, that you can't just do whatever you want. It has to be collectively bargained between the two sides. So they did do it, and it seems like it has been received very, very well on all fronts.
And you and I know Tony Clark very, very well. And do you think Tony struggled with this one?
Well, you know, his job is to defend players. That's mm-hmm. what the union does. You know, he's the head of the union, for people that may not know. And, you know, his primary job is to work for the players and defend the players at every turn. But at the same time, you know, Tony's been married to his wife a long time. Tony knows.
His girls. He has daughters.
What domestic violence. Yeah, he has daughters. I mean, he knows what domestic violence is. And I think the fact that there was no appeal on the Chapman suspension lets you know that Tony Clark probably played a role in putting that in there.
ESPN Baseball Insider Analyst Pedro Gomez with us around the Cactus League. Troy Tulowitzki made these comments about Salt River Fields. I like this place a lot better, referring to being down in Florida. than Arizona. That place was like a country club. Guys get comfortable because it was so nice. It is great out here. It is nice out here. The travel is much easier out here. Does he have a point or not in your view?
You know, when you talk to people who have been at lesser facilities and then all of a sudden they're at a place like what the Cubs have built or what the Rockies and Diamondbacks share or what the Dodgers and White Sox share out in Glendale, they will tell you first and foremost, this is the best spring training facility I've ever been to. Sure, it's plush. It's made plush. It's made for the comfort of the players. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
You know, I've been to the complex in Dunedin where the Blue Jays are, and it is old school spring training baseball. So maybe that's what Troy likes. I mean, let's remember Troy went to Long Beach State. Their nickname is the Dirtbags, the baseball team. So maybe Troy is not somebody that digs the finer things and wants to get down and dirty. Look, everybody has their opinion. I know that in talking to players, they would much rather have the comforts than not have the comforts.
Let's bounce around to a couple camps and just give me a thumbnail of what you see. The Rangers made a big move this week with Ian Desmond. What do you make out of the Rangers this coming season and here in spring training?
Still have a phenomenal rotation. They added Cole Hamels late last season. Yu Darvish will be rejoining the rotation probably by June. You've got Derek Holland. You've got Martin Perez. That is a very, very deep and solid rotation, and I would be surprised if the Rangers are not in contention.
Cleveland.
Oh, I really like the makeup of Cleveland. I think that is an under-the-radar team that is going to surprise a lot of people. You add guys like Ross Detweiler to the back end of the rotation. I mean, to the bullpen. You have Francisco Lindor, who is going to be a superstar shortstop. I know that he came up in the middle of the season last year, and maybe a lot of fans don't really have a grasp of who he is. This is somebody who grew up playing with Carlos Correa in Puerto Rico. They were both the best shortstops in the country, and they are. Correa obviously already has kind of reached superstar status. Francisco Lindor is going to be an all-star shortstop. I like the top of the rotation when you've got Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco and Salazar. That's a very, very solid top three in the rotation and a good everyday lineup. Under the radar. Maybe think Royals a couple of years ago where they kind of surprised everybody.
Pedro, I know you've been over at the Dodgers quite a bit here in spring training. Do you have an early feel about the National League West? I'm getting the feeling from the Diamondbacks and a couple of other people I've spoke to with teams that this may, in fact, be one of those cannibalism divisions this year where 85 wins may get it done because it is so deep and so tough. What do you make out of the NL West here in spring training?
Well, it is a monster top three. There's no doubt about it. The Diamondbacks have joined that by adding guys like Greinke and Shelby Miller and Segura. They've put themselves in a position to compete. Putting yourself in a position and actually doing it are two different things. Chip Hale always has that team pointed in the right direction, remembering, excuse me, what... sorry.
Don't die on me here,
remembering
man.
What
die
the job
me.
At hand is that... And I don't plan to, knowing what the job at hand is on a particular day. To me, the San Francisco Giants, though, are probably the favorite. Of course, the favorite doesn't always win,
right.
But the favorite to win that division. You've got arguably the best manager in baseball in Bruce Bochy. And then you've got a rotation that has Madison Bumgarner, Johnny Cueto, Jeff Samardzija, Jake Peavy, and Matt Cain. That is as deep a rotation as there is. Plus the lineup, the everyday lineup with just the infield alone. I mean, you've got Belt at first, Panic at second, Crawford at short, and Duffy at third. Then you've got Pence, Span, and Pagan in the outfield, and maybe the best catcher in the game in Buster Posey. That's a really, really solid, solid ball club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking around the West, and 85, I know the Diamondbacks last year were – almost at 500. We talked about them as the season progressed, but even with the addition of Greinke, I don't see where the 90 win is there for any team this year. I really don't. I could be wrong. I don't know.
It's going to be tough. I mean, if Greinke goes 21-4, that's plus 17 in the win column right there alone. So that is something that could tilt it in the D-backs' direction. But going 21-4 is not easy at all. That's a very, very difficult task.
Yeah. Yeah. Take care of yourself, man. I'll talk to you next week. I appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here with the coughing, but great to be back on with you, Brad.
Looking forward to it. There's Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst, insider, and he needs like a, I don't know, cough. I don't want to say cough drop. I've been in that space before. Eric, were you with me when my voice seized up? People were cheering when that happened. I had peanuts before I went on the air one time, which is just like the dumbest thing a broadcaster could ever do. And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you just feel this piece of sandpaper, and it kind of got stuck. And I was like, and so this.
I vaguely remember that. Very vaguely. Pedro should just have a glass of water next to him every time he does.
No, hot whiskey, man.
Or that.
That's hot whiskey gets it
Well,
done.
It's allergy season. It hasn't rained here in, like, what, 3 months? So yeah. Tis the season for that.
We have Ray Anderson coming up with us in about 15 minutes. So I want to talk about some things around the football program at Arizona State. We're going to have Greg Byrne tomorrow on the show. And I kind of looking at this as, okay, spring ball's underway down in Tucson. Spring ball gets underway next week with Arizona State. Kind of a state of the union on Ray's end, just on football. And I can do some other stuff, but I'm going to focus in on football with Ray Anderson. That's in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
I saw there's a couple football things I want to get to, and one of them is U of A is putting out there now, the tickets are on sale for the BYU game. So we're just, before you know it, football season will be here, and the BYU U of A game is being played here. It's being played at University of Phoenix Stadium. BYU is coming here to take on the Wildcats as Greg Byrne continues to try to expand his reach, to expand the brand of Arizona within Maricopa County. And there's all sorts of different ways that they're going about it. One of them may, in fact, be, and this isn't on Greg's plate, I hear the U of A is looking at Talking Stick Arena, the Stick, or U.S. Airways Center, or America West Arena, or those are the three names, right? I'm not leaving one out. Yeah, those are the three names. The U of A as a university is looking at that as a potential spot if, in fact, the Suns move, which I do believe they're going to do. I was talking to a couple of business guys yesterday about the situation with Robert Sarver writing that letter and the timing of it. That has been the story the last couple of days, is why did he write that letter? What was the point in writing that letter? And boy, there's a real feel around town that some of the other partners are going to get to a point. Some of the other owners are going to get to a point with Robert where they're going to say, you need to just step aside. Hearing that more and more and more, and it's from people whose opinions I trust and that don't shoot from the hip, that's what's going on out there, that some of these owners are actually seeing the embarrassment that the organization has become. And Robert needs a new building, and he's going to be lobbying for it, and I don't know if he's going to get it. You know, I think he's got the financial people in place to get it. I could be wrong on that. Politically, how is that going to get done? But that was his whole motive for putting that letter out the other day. And there's still some people that looked at that letter and said he didn't say anything about Lon being no longer with the organization, which is what a lot of people want to hear, and that Ryan's coming back. And do you really trust Ryan, the number one overall pick? I haven't seen enough of Ben Simmons yet to decide in my mind if he is the guy that I want and if I trust to turn the franchise around. It takes one really good player in the draft and then a free agent, and all of a sudden, a year from now, things may not be so bad. Honestly, that's the thing about the NBA. If you make a couple of moves and a couple of the right moves, the problem here is they haven't made a right move really outside of Devin Booker, and they have all this uncertainty if you go through their roster. Suns haven't made right moves in a long, long time, consecutive right moves. It's like they'll take one step forward and five steps back. They'll draft somebody who looks decent one year, and the next year he kind of fades off into the abyss. I'm talking about Alex Len. Right now he's a bit on the uptick. But it's not like you look at the organization and say, wow, this was a good move, this was a good move, this was a good move, this was a good move. You can't do that. The Eric Bledsoe extension, you look at it and say, this is not now a good move after another knee surgery, no matter what they try to say, no matter how they try to spin it. So, you know, that part of it is interesting, what's going on with them, and they play at Miami tomorrow night. And, of course, you're going to see in the news cycle in the next 24 hours, every local TV guy is going to do something on the Heat. The newspaper is going to do something on the Heat. Social media is going to do something on the Heat because it's all about all these former Suns players that have gone there. And I actually look at Miami and say, this is what the Suns need to do. This is what they need to accomplish. When you talk about the Miami Heat, you don't talk about Eric Spoelstra, their head coach. You talk about Pat Riley. You talk about somebody that just oozes credibility like nobody else. Like if Pat Riley were running the Phoenix Suns organization, you would say, wow, they've got it figured out. And my point on this is that's what they have to do between now and draft time. If it's just Robert and Ryan McDonough, and if they don't do something to say Lon is no longer here, nobody's going to buy into them. Nobody. You've got to find the figurehead. You look at the Golden State Warriors, and you don't, most people, most fans, have no idea who the GM of the Warriors is or the president or any of that stuff. We know because we see it every day. But if you're a fan, you see Steve Kerr that's out there every day. Unfortunately, if you're a Lakers fan, and I say Jim Buss, you know and I know that he's the problem with why the Lakers have gone into the toilet. You don't say Magic Johnson anymore. That's just how it is. Phil Jackson's not there any longer. Now, finding a figurehead, finding somebody that you look at and say, okay, this guy can get it done, rather than let's go with the latest, greatest trend, which is this analytics guy or this assistant GM that's made his way up the ranks. Like for all the love directed towards David Griffin, and there's a lot of it, and rightly so, David Griffin's under the gun now in Cleveland. You know, they've already fired their coach. And the Cavaliers, if they don't win, and if I, the way I look at Golden State, I don't see how Cleveland wins. David's going to be the next guy who's going to be in the firing line. That's just how it is in the league. And there is credibility there. There's moves that are made. Fans can't be upset that Kyrie Irving is there. I guess fans could be upset that Kevin Love is there. But here they're upset with everybody and every last thing. Ray Anderson joins us next. Athletic Director, Arizona State. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, tomorrow night on Fox Sports Arizona. It's tonight as well. It's just a rerun tonight. Tomorrow night, Fresh Edition. And then Brad Sussmat, Baseball AZ on Fox Sports Arizona on Friday night. It's also been picked up by five of the Fox Sports regions. We appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona as well. As promised, Ray Anderson joins us now, ASU's Vice President of Athletics. I saw Ray last week when he was introducing his volleyball coach. Very nice event. And shortly thereafter, it came out that Ray was on Forbes' list of the 25 most influential minorities in sports, which is a very nice honor. We appreciate Ray Anderson. Just 2 years, 25 months into this deal now. Time flies, Mr. Anderson. How are you?
Brad, I'm doing well, and you are absolutely correct. Time flies out here in the Valley, man, unbelievably so. But it's been a wonderful 2+ years, and we got a lot of work to do, but we're enjoying every step of the way, I can tell you that.
What are you most pleased about in 25 months?
I am most pleased about the vision we have for Sun Devil Athletics and the fact that it appears that our fans, our donors, our coaches, most importantly, our student athletes, are buying into the vision we have for really elevating this program. We want to be elite. We want to be top five in everything we do on and off the field, particularly in the classroom. And I really believe that folks have gotten the message and are helping us to strive to be what we want to be. And it's really very gratifying for me coming in as the athletic director to know that that goal, that aspiration is in fact being accomplished here in the early going.
It's one thing, Ray, to convince students to come to ASU. My son went through ASU. He had a terrific experience. It's another to convince coaches to leave their professions to come here. And yet, you know, your hiring track record so far, you look at the guys you've brought in and ladies that you brought in, and they all come from impressive backgrounds. What is it that when you show them, is it just the vision? Is it the current standing? What is it that convinces them to come here?
Well, it's the combination, but it starts with the vision and the aspirations and the goals we have for this program. And then you are able to share with them the opportunity to really be an architect, a builder, a startup part of doing something at a elevated, higher level. Mm-hmm. And it just happens to be at one of the world's greatest institutions, as far as I'm concerned, in one of the most unbelievable areas of the country. So you put all of that together, and you get folks to really listen intently, and then it becomes an opportunity that fortunately and hopefully, if we have to continue to make changes, people can't resist. We certainly saw that with Bob Bowman, Tracy Smith, and Stevie Mussey and others. This is a wonderful place to come and be able to make your mark, have an opportunity to have equity in building a program. Bobby Hurley certainly sees that. So it's a combination of things, Brad, but this is an unbelievable place at a very exciting time at Arizona State and in this whole valley.
Ray Anderson, Vice President for University Athletics and their Athletic Director from Arizona State, with us for a couple of minutes. Bobby Hurley, Charlie Turner Thorne, and Charlie has had a terrific season and is one of my absolute favorite people, just really good person that I've done speaking things with and seen her through the years, her ups and downs. And Bobby, I think, you know, people forget he's only coached in about 90 games, Ray, from my view. So I think that this has been a real, I'd say, learning experience, which is positive for him. What do you make out of your basketball programs at this point of the season?
Oh, Charlie Turner Thorne and our women's team is, you know, they're rated top 10 in the country. They are probably one of the most tenacious, exciting teams, certainly defensively, that I've personally ever seen. And Charlie has a program that has a culture and has a sense of belief in each other, one another, each other. They have a core value system there that I think she has just done a marvelous job with. So our women's basketball program under Charlie's leadership is in good shape, because I think most people who follow basketball will recognize that we don't have a single, like, superstar.
Right.
But what we have is a collection of women who know their roles, they love each other, they play under the system that the coach really has down, really to an art, not just science, but it's artful in the way she coordinates and subs and just runs her program. So our women's program, I think, is in very good shape. We won the co-championship of the Pac-12. We're not finished yet. We'll go to the NCAAs, possibly host here. And so Charlie and her women still have a lot of playing to do in this season, but they're doing a great job. Bobby Hurley, you're right, Brad. This is only his third year of being a head coach. He's in a transitional situation. We knew coming in that this is a program that needed transition. That's why we made the change from the prior basketball leadership. So his culture is taking hold. There's still some work to do. He's doing some recruiting, doing some restructuring, and I think he will be a really, really strong leader for this basketball program, men's, for a long time. We're going to be good.
I liked Ray when he got fired up at the U of A game to a point, and I've seen him just at times looks like he's going to blow a blood vessel between his eyes with what's gone on. Have you talked to him at all about that this year? Not in a way of, hey, you got to calm it down, but just, hey, you know, this is the deal. Have you had to get involved in any of that?
Well, when it first happens, you certainly want to support the energy, the buzz,
yep,
the message sending to his team and our fans that we're in this and we're in this with great intensity. But we got a chance, very frankly, to have a light moment to say, you know, I appreciate all that, but at the end of the day, I want my head coach on the floor coaching, not back in the locker room after two technicals.
Right.
And so we understand that there needs to be some restraint there, and I think Bobby will be able to do that. But you don't ever, in my view, want to throw water on what makes a person effective. And sometimes that's passion and fire that maybe needs to be watered down just a little bit, but I wouldn't throw buckets on it. And I haven't done that with Bobby. I think Bobby is going to really be able to bring this passion, that energy, that fire, without getting himself ejected too often.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you. And it's one of those things that you look at, and I've felt like at times this year watching the team, and I've seen a lot of their games, that there's almost a target on his back from the officials. And that's just me looking at it and trying to be objective about the whole situation.
I'll tell you this, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time around officiating, including in my job as football ops.
Yep.
At the NFL. We oversaw officiating. Officials are humans, too. And there is no question in my mind that when you get a new coach that comes in with a reputation of being fiery, that the officiating group are certainly going to also want to make sure they're setting parameters with these new coaches particularly. And so they may be a little more emphatic about the control that they want to exert on the playing floor with new coaches coming in that have fiery reputations. So that's just human nature. That stuff occurs. It's not a bad thing. It's just part of how it works. And I know some of that was going on this year as well.
We're talking with Ray Anderson. He joins us for a couple of minutes, VP, University Athletics, Athletic Director at ASU. Facilities, you and I always have this conversation, and it's because I've seen being here 20 plus years and seeing the facilities slowly decay, and now Earth has moved. The stadium, you don't even recognize it. I flew over it the other night. You can see big change coming. How is that project coming along in terms of timeline, and how's it coming along in terms of funding?
It's coming along in both respects very well. As we speak, Brad, you know, because you've been in my office, I'm literally looking out over the construction project for the stadium reinvention, and it is amazing to see how this place is being worked on. But we will open on the west side completely in good shape when we open. I believe it's on September 3rd. So the construction is really quite amazing. We're 6 days a week, 22 hours a day. May eventually have to go to 7 days a week for some period of time to make sure we stay on schedule. But the commitment very emphatically is to be done with this phase two on time. The fundraising, we knew it was going to be a challenge, but we're meeting the challenge in very good order. But we still have work to do to meet our goals in terms of the philanthropic part of it. But we're making very good strides and very confident we're going to get both of those things done in really, really fine fashion.
When I'm out speaking or even here behind the microphone and get messages, I get a lot of, is there concern about all the coaches leaving Todd? And it's been out there. They've all left for better positions or different opportunities, or maybe it was just time for them to move on. And I'm curious from your end of things, with everything that's gone on with football from the end of the bowl game to now, spring ball opens next week. How do you feel about the direction of the football program?
I'm very confident about direction of the football. I have to remind folks that the last 2 years we didn't have any coaches left. This year, Mike Norvell and others had a chance, very frankly, to go to situations that were better for them professionally and personally, and so we wish them all well. The good news is that we've done a heck of a job replacing those coaches, and I'll be very honest, I think overall we're going to have a stronger, better staff because of additional experience and in particular areas. For instance, our new running back coach, John Simon, he's a real upgrade in my view for our running back, which I think is a strong group. He played 3 years himself in the league, and bringing that experience to a really hardcore, I think, really good group of running backs is going to really improve us. So overall, I think we've improved our coaching staff. I think we are in strong shape to be better when it comes to preparing our players for the game. Now we just have to do it.
Last couple of years, you've upgraded the schedule immensely from what was there in years past. Can you look further ahead and give fans an idea of some other teams you're looking at scheduling down the road? They love this stuff.
Well, you know, some of the ones that we've already put on the schedule, like Michigan State and Texas Tech, we're going to LSU is in our future plan. So we're going to play tough non-conference schedule because, you know, particularly now in the college football playoff format, yep, strength of schedule is key. Equally important for us, we think our fans deserve and our players deserve to play really strong competition across the board. And so non-conference games against the likes of those teams that I just mentioned, BYU I think is coming up, are very appropriate for us, and we'll continue to schedule non-conference heavily.
Before I let you go, Pac-12 Network and start times of games, you can't control that. Fans, I hear from, I'm sure you do too, that they never know exactly when the games are going to be played because of TV schedules. Is there anything at your level that is being talked about and done on that behalf? Because I get a lot of feedback on that, Ray.
We certainly are trying to, in particular on the night game part of it, because the fan experience when you're having excessive night games can really be diminished. So, but it is really controlled by the TV schedules, the national networks as well as our own Pac-12 network. So, we are very frankly looking at night games. We continue to try to figure out on the DirecTV how we get broader distribution. So,
sure,
both of those issues, broader distribution, and certainly the challenges with night games, are part of our discussion at the AD and, very frankly, the chancellor and president level. But at the end of the day, because we are in these contracts, we do have some legal hurdles to get over if we're going to change it dramatically. But it is not something, night games, that is, that we take very lightly. And we're going to try to make adjustments whereby we can at least reduce the number of night games that each of the institutions have to participate in. But that may take some time.
Anything else you want to add about football before I let you go that you may think, you know, Brad, this is the point that is being missed, or this is what I want to emphasize about football?
That we are going to continue to strive to get better. We believe we have a very good program. Our desire, as we always talk about, is to be elite and top five. So we're going to continue to support that effort. And a lot of that will be aided by this stadium being full every single game. So we do need our fans to get out here and support us. And that's what we want them to do as part of supporting football.
Appreciate your time and your insight as always, Ray. Thanks.
My pleasure, Brad. See you, man.
Good talking to you. Ray Anderson there, VP, University Athletics, Athletic Director for Arizona State. Good to catch up with him. Tomorrow, Greg Byrne is going to be with us, and we're going to do the same drill with Ray because I think it's time to get a State of the Union. They're actually in spring football right now. Spring football for ASU starts, I believe it's the week after. This coming Friday is ASU's Pro Day. DJ Foster and Christian Westerman, Eric's going to be out at that. There's plenty of content up on our website at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Football show tonight, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. Enjoy your day.